You're listening to a journalism.co.uk podcast. In this week's podcast, we're looking at YouTube and some lessons that a couple of very different organisations have learned in making video for the web and distributing it for free. Vice, as an organisation, has seen enormous gains in audience in its transition from print to digital. And Al Brown, head of video at Vice UK, says Vice's video output has been the main driver of that growth.
It took 10 years to get to a million issues of the magazine being distributed around the world. And it took 1 year to get to a million video views or something like that along those lines. So I think what's very clear is that video has been the thing that has managed, that has allowed us to reach huge audiences. The magazine is still an extremely important part of what we do. It's just that all the other aspects of the business have grown to eclipse it. I think that's just natural in terms of what's happened to journalism and print and to an audience that's moving more and more towards video. So whilst we're still very proud of the magazine, it still does very, very well. It's more that video has just grown and grown and grown at such an exponential rate that that's now our main kind of mouthpiece to talking to our audience.
This video output was initially delivered through Vice Broadcasting System, or VBS.TV, founded in 2007. But YouTube has grown to be a major platform for delivering Vice's video to their audience, said Al. Now with almost 3.5 million subscribers and 285 million views on its main channel, as well as a string of subsidiaries, Vice is one of the most watched media organisations on YouTube. Al says that part of this success has been in being ahead of the curve in what an online video audience wants.
In the beginning, everyone told us that you couldn't put long-form documentaries on the internet, and no one would watch them, and that everything on the internet needs to be 3 minutes long. And, you know, I think all our stats on all our films and how they're consumed kind of disprove that.
As a young organisation, Vice spotted the potential that the digital revolution had in democratising broadcasting and moved into it early, with the express intention of making long-form video content. Vice knows its audience and knows what it wants, says Al, and YouTube has played a big factor in that.
We use YouTube a lot, and YouTube's definitely been a contributing factor to our growth, and finding that audience and being able to access that audience has been hugely important in that. But it's interesting because they're all, you know, and you could say the same with television or feature films. As much as all those audiences cross over a lot, they're all slightly different. And I think one of the things when we first started, you know, working with YouTube and putting our content on there, you know, we were really worried that maybe it would start to cannibalize video views from Vice.com. But actually, if anything, it's meant that everything's grown because we get to bring in other audiences at the same time. So yes, it's a huge part of where people consume our content, but it's by no means the only part of that.
If video is at your core, like Vice, then YouTube is a no-brainer. But a lot of publishers are supplementing their print offering with video as a way to boost their editorial voice. David Boddington, Future Publishing's head of video production for games and film, says that the way YouTube has changed means that anyone has the ability to produce high-quality video for the internet and deliver it to an enormous audience. At Future, though, with their range of titles and topics covered, that means taking advantage of the way YouTube has evolved.
Well, the biggest things for us, I suppose, are we're trying to evolve with YouTube. So, you know, you go back 5 years and YouTube was a place for, you know, videos of skateboarding cats and, you know, dogs falling over and things. But YouTube has matured as a platform so much, and even more so over the last 2 years. You know, it's become a, you know, far greater destination in itself to digest complex, long-form video content of really, really high quality. You know, all these, including all these bedroom YouTubers, as, you know, people sort of think of them, you know, the stuff these guys are doing now is an exceptional quality. You know, it doesn't, both in terms of production values, but also crucially, just in the execution and the ideas they're having and the content they're producing.
And the rise of YouTube is symptomatic of a wider change in consumption habits in society, he says.
Our consumption, I think, as a wide audience, especially in the West, you know, our consumption of this media now, we are far more likely just to, you know, come home from work or spend our lunchtimes browsing things on YouTube and visiting our favourite channels instead of just, you know, tuning into Channel 4 as we always used to, or, you know, just going on to BBC 2. You know, we're able to see and seek out this far more rich video content on YouTube. And as a result of this sort of trend, you know, that's something at Future Publishing, you know, we really tried to embrace and go with.
But what does that actually mean for publishers wanting to move into video with YouTube as their main platform? For one, says David, it means they have the flexibility to let the story dictate the nature of the video rather than the other way around, be that for features, news, how-tos, documentaries, or whatever the topic may be.
It gives you the flexibility to be able to produce content that is perfect for your audience and is highly tailored to your audience in terms of duration, because, you know, with traditional broadcast media, you know, you're always, that's it, you know, you have your half-hour slot, your hour slot, plus ad breaks, whatever it might be, and you have to fit into these predefined, you know, parameters of broadcast, whereas on YouTube, you have flexibility to tailor and deliver exactly what you want out of the product.
But that doesn't mean that publishers should abandon all of the fixtures and tenets of traditional broadcasting when publishing to YouTube. At Future, one of the most successful channels is Computer and Video Games, or CVG, where the team publish weekly shows on a set theme every day, the most popular of which is GTA 5 O'Clock. Granted, it has the weight of video games' biggest ever title behind it in Grand Theft Auto 5, but the show started a year before the game's release, and the regular nature of the show meant that anticipation would build among the audience for each new episode, broadcast at 5 o'clock every Wednesday.
I think it's really important when you properly signpost regular video content like GTA 5 o'clock and you say, okay, this is going to be live every single Wednesday at 5 p.m. UK time. You know, it gives your audience, your hardcore audience, both, you know, hardcore subscribers, but also hardcore people who just want to consume new information about that particular title. It gives them the sort of the ability to be first. You know, they're always commenting first, second, but really, you know, they want to consume that stuff as soon as it's available, because people want to be able to join the conversation. They want to be up to date with the very latest information about things they care about. So when you signpost content, you know, it's clearly understandable to your audience that if they want to watch it dead at that time, they're able to. But if they want to watch it, you know, within the next day or so, you know, again, they've just got a clear marker.
Regular shows can be signposted or embedded in your site, but a real marker of success would be in having people coming to the YouTube channel specifically for the show, as Future saw with GTA 5 O'Clock.
We saw great returns, you know, both in viewership and engagement and interaction and, you know, commenting, and people coming to the channel especially for the show just because they knew it was going to drop. And, you know, compared to traditional broadcast, you know, we're all guilty of it occasionally. You know, a YouTube video might go up, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes later than it's supposed to. And, you know, on other videos on the channel, you know, we'd see comments from people just going, oh, where's GTA 5 o'clock? You know, should have been by now. Which is really, you know, a really good thing. People came to expect it at a regular time.
The success of this show and its regularity, as well as that of other shows on the channel, has seen the number of subscribers to CVG rise from 30,000 to nearly 200,000 in under a year. For many publishers, being able to monetize the videos they produce for YouTube is vital to ensure that they can continue making them. Pre-roll adverts, those that run before the video, and in-video pop-up windows are the main platforms by which firms can advertise on YouTube. But as with all internet advertisements, actually getting the audience to pay any attention to the ads is still a problem. YouTube can provide that opportunity to give both the audience and the advertiser what they want, says David, which they are taking advantage of at Future.
Our sales teams will sell, you know, vertical specific stuff. So across Future, you know, we've also got, you know, some really good tech channels in T3, Tech Radar, our games channels, film channels, music channels, and especially in bikes as well. And we've, across all of those, you know, we sold some fantastic, you know, very, very narrow focused campaigns, which have gone very well.
The context of TV adverts and YouTube adverts is very different, though. So David says that working with advertisers, where possible, can help to tailor ads for that context. He remembers one particular example which grabbed his attention in a very simple, direct manner.
You know, I think a good one, I think it was from last year, it was a film, to give me, I can't remember the name, it was Stephen Merchant was starring the film, and the pre-roll was obviously talking about the film, but the first thing was, it popped up and went, Stephen Merchant just went, right, I know what you're about to do, but don't click skip. And then he went off and told us about the film, and it was like, okay, that's quite just an interesting way of doing it. And again, that's what I like about the opportunity on YouTube to produce sort of content and even, you know, adverts, which, you know, are more engaging and just are served to the right people. You know, that's the analytics and the data-driven way that YouTube works. Unlike traditional broadcasters, you know, the advertising stuff can actually be stuff that's genuinely relevant to you and something that really can interest you.
This idea comes back to the age-old tradition of really knowing your audience and giving them what they want. And YouTube, with its comment facility and view count, gives a clearer answer than many other media. That is why Vice is looking to focus more on current affairs stories for Generation Y, says Al, because that is where Vice is seeing its highest levels of engagement. For him and Vice, quality trumps strategy.
It's not necessarily a strategy thing. You know, there are strategies in terms of like how you release content, what time of day you release it, and all that sort of thing that, you know, can help with getting a few more views. But kind of the real reality of this is, you know, we're all like filmmakers and journalists and documentarians, and we concentrate on telling the best stories that we can and getting them out there. And I think the more that we concentrate on just telling great stories and getting great access and coming up with content that no one else is making, then actually that does 90% of the work.
And Al stresses that, given the size of the internet, it's important to produce content that stands out and to set the highest possible standards of what you want to achieve with the resources you have.
There's always been this perceived view that you can kind of just chuck sort of crap at the internet. And I think there's lots of people out there who do that. And I think that the problem is that it should just be seen as another way of consuming media, and the best media is what will do, you know, rise above everything else. And you've got, you know, the internet's huge, and in terms of the amount of hours of content they're produced all the time is huge. And I think to, you know, make something rise above that, it needs to be really good. So we don't use the sort of our competitors on the internet as a benchmark. You know, we use TV broadcasters and feature film studios as our benchmark, and we want to be making better content than them, but we want to be distributing it for free on the internet.
Such high standards are fantastic if you have the resources, talent and audience to support it, but David says it is the quality of the idea behind the content that will always shine through.
You know, video on YouTube, you know, is about quality, but it is about the quality of the idea, not so much the execution. So it's all well and good, and it's lovely to see, you know, beautifully shot things, you know, with nice cameras and nice sound equipment and all that. But if the idea is solid, and if it's, you know, particularly if it's you know, personalities and voices that I want to engage with and I empathize with and I want to, you know, hear from on a regular basis, then it doesn't matter if it's low quality, just as long as it's interesting. And on that line, you know, I think that a lot of video content, especially within the entertainment space, you know, can to some degree be viewed as certainly regular programming content can be viewed as radio shows with pictures. You know, I'm a firm believer in that, you know, if you've got the voices, you've got the interesting angles and interesting sort of stuff they're putting forward, then what you're seeing on screen is an important part, but it just backs up the editorial tone and like, the real value of the content.
And editorial content always returns to knowing the audience and giving them what they're looking for. The flexible nature of YouTube gives organisations even more scope to do that.
I think it's really important for big business now to start, you know, tailoring content for the YouTube audience because it is different to broadcast. You know, people will consume long-form stuff, yes, but there are different expectations for them. I think there was a Borrell Associates report came out last year, I believe, which suggested that over a third of all online ad spending would be for custom video production within the next 5 years. So it's something that, you know, is going to be growing, is getting bigger, and, you know, companies need to embrace it.
You've been listening to a journalism.co.uk podcast.